more. Again, I wrestled with where to go in the Word of God, and God used again some of the testimonies. I so appreciate the folks while the choir is singing who are willing to share their testimonies. And I feel like they're coming right from the heart. I so appreciated what you were saying tonight about stopping and calling on God. And I just felt like you're speaking right from your heart with where so many of us are. So I want to share my heart with you. I told our church at Crossroads, how are you going to live the Bible if you don't learn it? And I think some preachers get up and preach and they want everybody to leave the service thinking how smart they were. I had a math teacher. I knew when I left her class that she knew math. The problem is, I didn't know math when I left her class. And I didn't go to math class to find out how smart she was. I went to math class to learn more about math. And I've learned people don't come to church just to hear how much Bible I know. They come into church to get help so they can live it when they leave here. So I'm going to give you something that will help you. It's helped me tonight, and I hope it helps you. Genesis 24. Would you stand if you're physically able, if you feel like it? Thank you for the basket last night. It had some good stuff in there. And the gallon of Chick-fil-A lemonade. For those of you who don't think that's a big deal, you've never bought a gallon of Chick-fil-A lemonade. It's about $10. It must have some gold in it. I mean, it's expensive. And somebody gave me that in the basket, and I so appreciate it. There was a gift card in there that was a blessing and a note. And I take none of it for granted. I tell our church that more people are dying of entitlement than people died of COVID. We live in a society that is entitled. People think you owe them. And everybody's talking about vaccines for diseases. I won't tell you the vaccine for entitlement is gratitude. The best way to never think anybody owes you anything is to be thankful for everything. And so I want you to know I don't think you owe me anything. I'm thankful for all of it. And so appreciate it. You're in Genesis 24. Are you there? We're trying to keep it simple. Last night, Exodus. This tonight, Genesis. If you're still turning, trying to find Genesis, stop wherever you are, look up, and fake it like you already found it. Because at this point, if you don't know where Genesis is, there's no hope for you. Swallow your pride, go to the table of contents, look up the number of the page, stop trying to be cool, and find Genesis, all right? Chapter number 24. Here we are in verse number 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Use these next few moments to do something in us that we cannot do in ourselves. Bind the devil. Put a hedge of protection about this place. And use the word like you always do. Watch over my family while I'm gone. And get me back to them tonight just as safe and sound as they were when I left yesterday. Now, God, do something. Our hearts have been prepared. Now you draw the net of conviction in our hearts for us to respond, not just stirred, but changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. In chapter number 23, Sarah, the old wife of Abraham, dies. And I can only imagine just how devastating it was for Abraham to have to bury his wife Sarah, his best friend, for all those decades that the two of them had been joined together by Almighty God. And then for her to pass away was a heavy burden for him to carry. In chapter number 24, not only has Sarah died, but now in this chapter, Abraham is old and stricken in years and close to dying himself. So his wife has gone on to be with the Lord, and now he is close to going on into eternity himself. I can't help but think, as this burdened husband, having lost his wife and close to dying himself, came closer and nearer to death, there were some burdens that weighed on him heavily that he wanted to get accomplished before he died. I don't know that there was any heavier burden on Abraham's heart to get done before he died than finding Isaac a wife. Now, Isaac was a big deal to Abraham and to Sarah. This was no ordinary child. Isaac was the child that God had given them in their old age. It was a miracle. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, every baby that's born is a miracle. Amen. A miracle of God, for God to open the womb, for a child to be conceived, and for life to begin at conception, and that child to come into this world is a miracle. But Isaac was an extra special miracle, because Sarah was past the childbearing years. Abraham was past the age when a man fathers a child, and yet God did a miracle, said, "You're going to have a baby." Sarah laughed in disbelief. "I'm not going to have a baby." No, just like God said it, it's going to happen. And by the way, don't you realize when God says something, it's going to happen? Come on now. And it did. She did give birth to a baby, and that baby's name was Isaac. And oh, what a blessing it was for Sarah to give birth to Isaac, and Abraham and Sarah to have this wonderful baby by the name of Isaac. And Isaac was the promised seed. Isaac was the one that God was going to fulfill the promises that he had made to Abraham. Remember the promises of Abraham. Listen, review in your scriptural mind. "I will multiply your seed as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky." Watch this now. "In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Listen, Abraham, I'm going to multiply you, and from Abraham's loins are going to come the nation of Israel. So it was a big deal how God had promised Abraham to bless him. Now watch this now. He said, "I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing after I bless you." And God was doing that to Abraham through Isaac. So I'm trying to get you to understand something tonight. Finding Isaac a wife was a big deal, because Isaac was the promised seed, and God was going to fulfill his promises through Isaac. So who he had as a wife was a big deal. So Abraham's getting close to die, and my son is going to have God's blessings on him. And if God's going to bless my son needs the right wife. So he takes his oldest servant, whose name is Eliezer, and he's going to task him with a very, very, very important responsibility. "I want you to go find Isaac a wife." Some of you fellas ought to give God praise right about now that they don't still do that anymore. I'm glad that when I needed a wife, my dad didn't take his staff member and say, "Go look for my son a wife." I'm glad I got to find my own. Amen. But in these days, this is what is happening. I want you to picture, big deal for Isaac to have a wife. Big deal for Isaac to have the right wife. And now this servant has to go find her. You want to talk about a big task. This fella has to go pick out this woman. And she can't be just a good woman. She can't be just a pretty woman. She can't be just a godly woman. She's got to be the woman, the wife that God has for Isaac. And this fella cannot mess up. There's no room for oops. There's no room for my bad. And there's no room for what happened was. You can't have that happen in this story. He can't get it wrong. Listen to me now. If he gets it wrong, the nation of Israel is messed up. If he gets it wrong, the Genesis is messed up. If he gets it wrong, the first five books of the Old Testament are messed up. If he gets it wrong, the whole Old Testament is messed up. You see, if he gets it wrong, the bloodline of the Messiah is messed up. I'm just basically saying, no pressure, dude. You just can't get it wrong. Failure is not an option. He cannot fail. He cannot miss it. He cannot pick out the wrong one. He cannot bring back the wrong wife. He cannot have five and say, "Try each one of them out for a week and see which one you want." No. He has to get it right. I'm telling you, this fella is under pressure. I'm telling you, this fella is weighted down. I'm telling you, he's stressed out. I'm telling you, he's out of his league. I'm telling you, he has taken on a task that is bigger than he is, beyond his capabilities, and there's nothing in him inherently that he can have.
have to get this job done. He's under pressure. He needs leadership. He needs guidance. He needs direction. He needs a GPS system. He needs somebody telling him where to go, telling him what to do. He needs a guarantee and the assurance that he finds the exact wife for Isaac, brings her back home, and lets him marry her, and failure is not an option. I tell you what I like about Genesis 24. This fella's under pressure. This fella needs direction. He needs guidance. He needs GPS system. He needs leadership. He needs assurance. He needs the bullseye. He needs somebody showing him exactly what to do. And according to Genesis chapter 24, he not only needs it, watch this now, he gets it. Can I get an amen? This fella got exactly what he needed to get the job done. He did get the job done. He did not fail. He did find Isaac a wife. He did pull it off. It did end with a happy ending. And God bless this fella because he got exactly what he needed. Now listen to me. I'm glad that this fella needed leadership and he got leadership. Look at Genesis 24 and verse number 27. Look at what this fella got. The fella said in verse number 27, and I don't want you to miss this statement. He said a small phrase in there, the Lord led me. Let's say that together. The Lord led me. Come on, one more time. Say it again. The Lord led me. Last time, one more time. The Lord led me. Now watch this now. He didn't say my mama led me. He didn't say my friend led me. He didn't say my daddy led me. He didn't say my kids led me. He didn't say my siblings led me. He didn't say my doctor led me. He didn't say my therapist led me. He didn't say my friends led me. He didn't say my counselor led me. Listen to me now. He didn't say Dr. Phil led me. He didn't say Oprah led me. He didn't say the politicians led me. He didn't say my conscience led me. He said the Lord led me. He wasn't just talking about anybody. He wasn't talking about Muhammad. He wasn't talking about Buddha. He wasn't talking about the Pope. He wasn't talking about a priest. He was talking about the God who set the stars in space and the moon in place and the sun hanging on nothing that it never falls down. He was talking about the God who took from the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. He was talking about the omnipotent, all-powerful God, omniscient, all-knowing God, omnipresent, ever at the same time God, immutable, unchangeable God, eternal, the God who was, who is, and is. He was talking about the King of Kings. Now listen to me. This fella said, when I needed leadership, when I needed guidance, when I needed direction, when I needed a GPS system, when I needed assurance, when I needed to hit the bullseye, when I could not fail, I could not get it wrong, I could not mess up, and I had to get it right. He said, not just anybody, but the one who made me, the one who knows me, the one who controls me, the one who's always right, the one who's never wrong, the one who never messes up, the one who never fails, the one who knows my yesterday, today, and forever, the one who never changes. He got out in front of me and he led me. Somebody say amen.
But he didn't lead me because I got lucky. He didn't lead me because he pulled my name out of a hat. He didn't lead me because of my last name. Look at the text. He said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Now this is what this fellow found out in Genesis 24. This fellow found out there's a place. There's a spot. There's a location. There's a zone. Watch this. There is a way. If I get to the way, if I get to the spot, if I get to the zone, if I get to the juncture, if I hit the bull, if I get where I belong, watch this now. If I'm in the way, guess what? The Lord, listen, the Lord doesn't lead anybody. The Lord doesn't lead everybody. The Lord doesn't lead just somebody. The Lord leads the people who are in. You know this fellow found out? I can be in the way. And if I'm in the way, Almighty God can lead me. Watch this now. And when God leads me, I get it right every time. Now I want to tell you why I'm here on a Tuesday night in Evanston, right here in Virginia, right in the Lynchburg area, at the Gospel Light Baptist Church, preaching this message. Because I can sense a little bit of what this fellow was sensing. I can feel a little bit of what this servant was feeling. I can identify a little bit with the pressure that this fellow was carrying. Because I want to tell you something. There's nobody in this building sitting here on a Tuesday night who's not living under pressure. If you're a parent,
parent tonight, you're under pressure. If you're a husband tonight, you're under pressure. If you're a mama tonight, you're under pressure. If you're a teenager, I'm talking about teenagers in this building. 3 out of 4 of our seniors graduate without their virginity. 20% of 15-year-olds have been involved in immorality by the time they turn 15. Our public school system can't figure out what bathroom to put our kids in. You need parental consent for an aspirin, but not for protection to be involved in immorality. A little girl can go into a clinic and abort a baby and not even allow her mother to come in there. We're redefining marriage. Every sitcom has at least one homosexual on it. Do you realize this is what's going on right in America? And we can say what we want to. We can blister these teenagers and tell them they're all rebels and they make a bunch of mistakes and they're knuckleheads and they're mavericks and they need to get their act together and they need to live better. But the fact of the matter is, this is a generation that is under more pressure than any generation I've ever seen before. What do they do when they come to church every single day and they hear, do this, do that, and go here, and go here, and don't wear this, and don't do that, and listen to this, and don't listen to that, and they leave here and go, I heard you, I know what you're saying, I heard the lesson, I went to the conference, I heard the message, I took the notes down, but I just don't know how to pull it off. I just don't know how to get, I'm telling you, this is where this fellow was. I heard what you said, Abraham, I know what Isaac needs, I know what you're sending me, I know what the task is, but to be honest with you, I may know what the task is, but the task is bigger than I am. I don't know how to get it done on my own, but this fellow found out you don't have to get it done on your own. You just get in the way. You just get in the spot. You just align yourself with Almighty God. You won't have to find her. You won't have to locate her. You won't have to pick her. You just get in the way, and the Lord will lead you. And I've come to tell you tonight, while living under pressure, I've never enjoyed serving God any more than I do right now. I've never enjoyed being a husband any more than I do right now. I've never enjoyed being a pastor any more than I do right now. I've never enjoyed being a family man any more than I do right now. I've never enjoyed preaching any more than I do right now. But I'll tell you something, preacher. Every single day my phone is ringing with people that are looking for counsel. Every single day my calendar is filled with people that are looking for leadership. 3 times a week I'm before the congregation at Crossroads Baptist Church. They're not sitting there just to get their ears tickled or just to get entertained or just punch a clock. They're looking for somebody who's been with God to give them some leadership, give them some food, and direct them as a pastor. I can't get up there and just throw some little something at them and just read something I got off the internet or give them something I read in some fortune cookie. They need something that's going to let them leave that building and go do something for God. And I'm so glad as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as a mentor, as a counselor, as a friend, that I'm not just up there just winging it and trying to pull something off the internet. I'm glad there's a God in heaven who says, if you'll get in the spot, if you'll find the zone, if you'll align yourself with me, if you'll be in the way, how somebody say amen tonight, that in this crazy world where there are so many wrong decisions to make, aren't you glad you can make the right decision because the Lord will lead you? Tonight I want to talk about being in the way. Because I feel pressure. And I don't know about you, like this servant. Failure is not an option. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to fail. You don't get 2 shots at marriage. You don't get 2 shots at parenting. You don't get 2 shots at life. You don't get 2 shots at being an adolescent. You get it once. You don't want to strike out. And I'm telling you what, it's so convenient to strike out in this world unless you got some leadership that comes with a 100% guarantee. And I hate to bust your bubble. There's only one leader that's got a 100% guarantee rate, and that's Almighty God.
That's right.
So tonight, very quickly, I want to give you some keys to identifying whether you're in the way. Because if you've got to be in the way for God to lead you, how many of you would agree you want to be in the way? Let me say that again. If you have to be in the way for God to lead you, tell me by amen. If you have to be in the way for God to lead you, how many of you would agree tonight you want to be in the way? Now, how do you know if you're in the way? How did this fella make sure he was in the way? Number one, there must be submission if you're in the way. Say it with me, submission. Submission. One more time. Say it again, submission. Now, look very quickly at Genesis 24. You have to go back and look at this text in your own time to gather the exposition verse by verse to see all of these keys right here in the text. But let me summarize. Here comes Abraham calling his servant to him saying, I got a job for you. Come on now. Now, listen to me tonight. If you want to be in the way, you got to understand something tonight. There is a master. There is a servant. The
can I just let you know tonight, we're not the master. Come on, somebody say amen. We do have a master, but we're not the master. He's not the servant. Listen to me. We are the servants, and he is. So let's just get it together. You are not in the way if you're trying to be the master and not. Somebody help me now. I tell you why some Christians aren't in the way. They want to be the master instead of letting God be the master. They want God to be the servant instead of letting themselves be. Listen, if you want to be in the way tonight, you've got to be the servant and let God be the master. You're going to see right here in Genesis 24, there was submission on the behalf of the servant's part. Submission to what? Submission to the master's words. Several times in the text, you're going to see Abraham said, Abraham said, Abraham said, Abraham said. Hey, look here, fella. You want to be in the way? You got to do what I say. That's what Abraham said. You got to do what I say. Listen to me. Don't tell me you want to be in the way with God, but you won't do what he says. I said, don't tell me you want to be in the way with God. You don't want to. Well, you say, I don't know what God says. Well, you don't have to look far. Here it is right here in this Bible. Amen. You want to know what God said? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Forever thy word is settled in heaven and earth. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day long. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall endure forever. John 17, sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Peter says, no scripture came by private interpretation, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit. Isaiah says, thy word shall not return void. Paul said to Timothy, all scriptures give by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good. You may not understand this tonight, folks, but God took 40 different men over a 1600 period time and produced a miracle of a manuscript called the Bible. Inspired, God breathed. Infallible, it can't fail. Inerrant, it has no errors. From cover to cover, it's still the bestseller. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. You find me a book that's prophetic and perfect and preserved and preeminent and probing and piercing and potent and powerful and precious and penetrating and profitable and perfecting. It's not the Quran. It's not the Book of the Mormon. It's not the Constitution. It's not the Bill of Rights. It's not Vogue magazine. It's not ESPN. It's not Farm and Country. It's the B-I-B-L-E. You say, oh, I'm in the way. I want to be in the way. I want to be in the way. I want to be in the way. You're not in the way if you don't submit to his word. Submit to his word. Submit to his will. Submit to his wishes. It's all there. Hey, servant, this is what I'm telling you. Hey, servant, this is my will. Go to my homeland. Hey, servant, this is my wish. Don't take Isaac to her. Bring her back to him. Where do you see in the text where the servant goes, well, since you're going to assign me, I think you ought to let me do it my way. Wait a minute, buddy. You're not the master. I'll tell you what's wrong with some Christians. They want God to use them, but they want to do their own thing. You want to be in the way tonight? You got to be submissive. Can I get an amen? There's supplication in the way. Number two, this fellow prays. If you look in the text, he's going to leave there and he's going to say in verse number 12, O Lord God of my master Abraham. I'm picturing, in those days you would put your hand under the thigh of your master as a picture of swearing, I'm going to do what you told me to do. So this is what this fellow did. Abraham gives him an assignment. He says, I want you to go back to my homeland. I want you to find him a wife. I want you to bring her back to Isaac. This fellow puts his hand under Abraham's thigh and basically says, I swear I'll do exactly what you said. I'm picturing this fella. As soon as he says, I swear, I'll do exactly what you said, he leaves the house and goes, what did I just sign up for? Why did I promise to do something I have no clue on how to... Well, come on now, let's be honest. Have you ever went to the altar and said, yes, Lord, I will, and got in the car after church and went, I said I will, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. You get up the next day and you... It seems so simple at church last night. But when I go to work the next day, it's like, this is impossible. This is where this fella... Listen, what did the fella do when he swore to do something that he didn't know how to do? He prayed. There's supplication in the way. I don't understand why Christian people swear to do stuff that they don't know how to do, but won't pray. If 3 out of 4 seniors graduated out their virginity, you know what I'd be doing if I were a senior? Praying that God kept me pure. Amen. If most marriages ended in divorce, you know what I'd be doing if I were married? And I am. Praying God keeps me married. I'm telling you folks, shame on us to be in a society statistically full of failure and not be more prayer warriors. God help us in these last days. If we can't afford to fail and yet we've promised to get it right, God help us to go to the one person who can make sure we don't fail. That's Almighty God. I wish every person in the building would leave this revival service. If you don't get anything these next several days, get this out of the revival service. I am going to be more committed to prayer. There's submission in the way. There's supplication in the way. Watch number 3. There's success in the way. Verse number 12, he's praying. Look at verse number 13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, still praying. And the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. In other words, he's talking to God. God, I'm standing by the well. This is where the girls come out and draw water. He says, Lord, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my man. That's a lot of words for him saying, Lord, I'm going down here where the girls come draw water. Now, God, I'm going to ask you. When I ask the girl for water, let the one that says, yep, I'll give water for you and the camels, let that be the one that Isaac is supposed to marry. And if she says to me, I got water from you and the camels, ding, 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 I'm going to know she's the one that Isaac is supposed to marry. He prayed. Well, guess what? He goes to the spot where the girls draw water. And here comes Miss Rebecca out to draw water. And the fella says, may I have some water? And the woman says, I got water for you and the camels. Ding, 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 ding. Listen to me. I hate to bust your bubble, but I'm trying to tell you, when you're in the way, there's submission. When you're in the way, there's supplication. And when you're in the way, there's success. God does answer prayer. I worry about Christian people telling me they're in the way and nothing ever successful happens. No prayers answered. No protection secure. Nothing ever works out. I'm not saying that life doesn't come with problems. I'm not saying that trials aren't a part of the Christian life. I'm just simply saying, when you're in the way, listen to me, success happens. God comes through. He answers your prayer. He supplies your needs. He does what you can't do. What a joy it must have been when that fella said, may I have water? And the girl said, you sure may. And the camels too. He must have been thinking, booyah, exactly what I prayed, God. And I'm telling you what, I've seen it too many times when I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know how I was going to pull it off. I didn't know how I was capable. She just testified. She said, God, I need you. God, I can't figure it out. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't have the answer. I'm glad my Bible said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. I'm glad that I'm not rubbing some genie's belly. I'm glad I'm not praying some rosary. I'm glad I'm not quoting some poem. I'm glad I'm not squeezing some stress ball. I'm glad I'm not standing on top of a building, jumping off, singing, I believe I can fly. I'm glad that I'm living this life talking to a God who not only hears, but answers prayer. Wow. There's success in the way. Exactly
what he prayed,
God answered.
I'm moving almost halfway now. There's shouting in the way. Look at verse 27. Look at 26. And the man bowed down his head and did what? Did what? Come on, look at the verse. Verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and did what? Worship the Lord. Look at verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not led destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way the Lord led me to the house of my master. Listen, this guy is having a worshiping fit in the middle of nowhere, and I'd have liked to have been a bird in the tree to hear it. Listen to me. I'd have liked to have been a bird in that tree over top of where that man was standing when all of a sudden that man ran into that girl who said, yep, I got water for you and the camels. He paused from talking to her, stopped right in the middle of what he was doing and said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left me destitute of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way, I'll tell you what happens in the way. In the way, you just have to stop and give God the praise. In the way, you have to stop and worship God. In the way, you got to, because you know good and well, you didn't do it. You couldn't pull it off. You couldn't accomplish it. You ain't good enough. You ain't smart enough. You ain't wise enough. You ain't strong enough. You ain't spiritual enough. When God does it, you better give God the praise. I worry about people, preacher, who say they're in the way and never have a praise. They say they're in the way and they never have a worship. They say they're in the way and they never give God the glory. They say they're in the way and they're never happy in Jesus. Don't tell me you're in the way and you're not worshiping. Oh yeah, there's submission in the way. Oh yeah, there's supplication in the way. Oh yeah, there's success in the way. But there's shouting in the way. Now, not everybody shouts the same way. Some people run around. Some people wave a hanky. Some people clap their hands. Some people stomp their feet. Some people scream. Some people squeal. Some people laugh. Some people, I don't know. But I'm just trying to tell you. I ain't telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, when God blesses, you better do something. If you don't want to shout, if you don't want to scream, if you don't want to stomp, if you don't want to clap your hands, if you don't like to make a lot of noise, if you're a little dignified and you don't like to really let it all out, just take one of them envelopes in the pew and write down amen on it. I'm just saying, don't tell me you're in the way. And you never tell God about it. God, give us some teenagers who aren't afraid to shout. I'm talking about praising. You don't have to scream. You don't have to jump around. Don't ever let any preacher tell you if you don't praise this way, you're not right with God. I don't like that. I don't like to go to some meetings where if you're not blessed, God, if you ain't standing up and running around, you don't love Jesus. Some of them running around a bunch of devils. Okay, some of them were running around in the club the night before. We don't judge spirituality by how loud you are. I'm not going to tell you how to praise. I'm just telling you, if you love God, you better praise. There's shouting in the way. There's steadfastness in the way. I'm closing. I don't have time to look at all this. But this fellow knew. Please listen. He knew that that woman was the right woman. God had led him. But he had a challenge. Because he not only had to know she was right, but he had to convince her family she was right. Preacher, you have a daughter. I have two. What are you doing when somebody rings your doorbell one day and says, hello, Pastor Warren, I've come to inform you. God led me to your house to take your daughter from you back to another man across the country for him to marry her. See, he just held up his fist to me. And at the house, he's probably got something more than his fist. And he just said amen to that. That guy had come to Pastor Warren's house, he wouldn't have lived. And Bree would have still been home. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing to know God is working in your life. It's another thing to be so sure about it, you can convince other people of it.
That's right.
See, some of you teenagers, you know God's real. But are you going to be able to convince your friends at tomorrow's school?
That's right.
Some of you come to church, you know God's moving when you're up here singing in the choir. But can you go out to that world and tell them? I'm going to tell you something. This fellow not only had to identify her, he had to bring her back. And he couldn't do it without getting her mother and her brother's blessing. So he goes to the house and tells them the whole story.
I want to tell you about my master Abraham. God raised him up out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And God gave him and his wife this miracle baby by the name of Isaac. And now he's grown up and the mother's dead. And now his father has sent me on this mission to come find. And I prayed, and I was scared to death when I left the house. I didn't know how I was going to find this girl. And I prayed, said, God, let it be the one that I asked for water. She gives water to me and the camels. And I'm sorry, ma'am. You may not understand this. I'm sorry, bruh. You may not understand this. But your sister, your daughter, ma'am, I asked her for water. Guess what she said? I have water for you and the camels. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to tell you. That's what I asked God for. She just answered it. Ding, 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 ding. Y'all didn't hear the ding, but it's dinging in my head. And I'm trying to tell you, y'all got to trust that the ding in my head is a real ding. You know what I'm saying? And you listen to me. And about that time, he's convinced them that there's really a ding, ding, ding in his head and that she's really the right one. And we get down to verse number 55 or so, and the brother and the mother are like, okay, we understand. She's the right one. She needs to go with you, 55. But please, let her stay with us a few days, maybe 10. And then they're like, okay, we'll let her go. We understand that God is in it. But can't she stay here for 10 days longer? I mean, she's my daughter. She's my sister. Let her stay. But look at what this fellow said in 56. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord have prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my mat. No. Them some King James words for just saying, look here, y'all. Look here, Lord. Look here, y'all. I done put my hand under my master's thigh and told him I was bringing this girl back to him. I ain't know what I was doing. I was scared to death. I prayed that God would answer. God answered when your daughter and your sister said yes. I know she's the right woman. Y'all talking about 10 days? Girl, you better dap your brother and hug your mama and get on this here camel and come on now, because if God has brought me this far, I am not going to procrastinate. But shame on Christian people when God answers your prayer and you drag your feet finishing it off. You got to be steadfast. I've known teenagers who say, pray that God leads me, and God leads me, and then they don't follow. Pastor, put our name on the prayer list, please. We need a new car. Our family, the car we have is on its last leg. We're praying that God gives us, and the whole church prays, and they get a new car, and they won't even drive it to church. They don't even come to church with the car God gave them. Come on. Sir, you asked God for a good wife. Now, God gave her to you. Now, lead her right.
That's right.
You asked God for kids. Now, raise them in the nurture. Now, you asked God for a church. Come to it. You asked God for a job. Tithe. There's steadfastness in the way. You can't get this far in the will of God and then fall off later. It's 2024, and a lot of Christians that God has led up to this point are falling off now. Their steadfastness in the way. I'm almost done. Their satisfaction in the way. Look at the text. look at verse number 63. Isaac back home, he don't even get to go on the journey to pick his own wife. You know, I'm going to tell you something. That's messed up right there. The Bible says in verse number 63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. What do you think this fella is meditating about? I think he's praying. I think he's praying for daddy's servant. Meditate. What do you think he's praying? I think he's saying, oh Lord God, if you ever led my daddy's servant, please lead that man tonight. He ain't picking apples. He ain't picking a dog. He ain't picking a cat. He ain't picking a horse or a chariot. He is picking my wife. Oh God, if this man ever was led by you, lead him tonight. Help her to pick one that knows how to fry chicken. Help her to pick one that knows how to do laundry. Help him to pick one that knows how to massage my back. Help her to pick one. Help him to pick one that walks with you. Help him to pick one that talks with you, Lord. Help him to pick one that's a godly woman. But Lord, please help him to pick one that is beautiful. Help him to pick one. He's meditating.
First of all, somebody laughed so hard they snorted. Look at verse number 63. I don't miss nothing. That's when you know you're having a good time in church. When you snort. in Jesus' name. Verse number, Isaac went out. Look, verse number 63. He's meditating, praying. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I prayed at my servant. I prayed at daddy's servant. Got it right. I don't want him to bring back no ugly wife for me. And he gets on verse number 63. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and saw, verse 63, the camels were coming. All of a sudden, the music plays in his ear. And dust is going up in the air. And here come those camels just moving faster than any camels ever moved before. And Isaac looks up. And I'm telling you, he ain't happy about camels. He's happy about the girl that's on the camel. Amen. He looks up at her and he sees Rebecca on that camel. He must think, hubba, hubba. I mean, he looks and goes, yep. Daddy's servant got it right. Look at the text. And all of a sudden, Rebecca, she's riding on the camel. She ain't never seen Isaac. Isaac never seen her. He lays his eyes on her. He goes, hubba, hubba. Look at verse number 64. Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, the Bible says, she lighted off the camel. Watch this now. She looked at Isaac and thought, good gracious alive. And the Bible said, he looked so good, she smoked a cigarette. She lighted off a camel. I'm just kidding. She jumped off the camel. She said, good gracious alive, that boy looks so good. Give me a cigarette. No, I'm just kidding. She jumped off the camel. You can't make this stuff up. She lighted off the camel. Isaac sees her, hubba, hubba. She sees him, woo. Abraham looks at the two of them and says, good looking grandkids. Amen. I want to tell you something. I don't think there's anybody in this whole story that's more satisfied than that servant. He watched it happen and knows good and well he didn't do it. I can identify with him, a little preacher. Week in and week out, I hop in a car. I walk into churches. I take my feeble, meager, finite mind and body and preach. And I look up after these lips of clay, this sinner saved by grace, preaches words from a mere man who, were it not for grace, would be burning in hell. And people get saved. Lives, altars fill. Young men surrender to preach. Teenagers give their life. Marriages are restored. Addicts break free. And I know good and well just how clueless I was when I tried to get it done. You want to talk about satisfaction when God takes our sorry selves and makes something out of them. Oh, what a God. And we're all in the same boat tonight. Come on now. I don't have to know people when I walk in a church. I just know they're people, just like I am. You don't have to tell me your business. You were born a sinner just like I am. You just as dumb as I am. Come on now. If anything good is happening, it's God doing it through us. What satisfaction this fellow must have been like. To stand back after this story and go, I have a clue. I have a chance. There's no way I could have found that woman without God. You can't stay right, teenager. You can't stay married, couple. You can't find your spouse in this crazy. I am glad I ain't looking for a wife in 2024. I feel for you out there. eHarmony.com and all this mess. You need more than some matchmaker. You need God. And guess what? You can have it. But there's a stipulation. You got to be in the way. Let me ask you a question. Don't you want him to lead you? Who in this building
is not living under pressure tonight. I got good news for you. God is not under pressure. He's been doing this and he ain't never got it wrong. And if he'll lead me, I won't get it wrong either. But he'll only lead me if I'm in the way. Our Father, we desperately want to be in the way. Has God's eyes closed? I may say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved. I know it. Come on, slip your hand up. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know it. Put your hands down. Come on. Let's just be honest. You can put your hands down. How many say, I'm going to heaven? I just put my hand up. However, I know what you're talking about. I'm living under pressure every day trying to do right. And I need God's leadership. I need it. And everything in me tonight wants to be in the way because I don't want to fail. That's what you put your hand up. Come on. I want him to lead me. Oh, God bless you. Just a moment. The invitation is going to be simple. When you leave your seat, you know what you're saying? God, I don't want to be in the way. Now, we got to be real because sometimes we're not submissive. Sometimes we want the product without the process. We want God to bless us, but we don't want... There are areas of our Christian life we've not submitted. Things He's told us to do, we've not, and yet we still want Him to lead us, even though we're not complying with His Word. Sometimes we're not in supplication. We're not praying. Therefore, we're not successful. And sometimes we're successful, but we fail to shout and give Him glory. And sometimes after shouting, we're not steadfast. We veer off the path. So we miss satisfaction. Because we don't finish the deal. Just a moment. If any one of those areas God has convicted you about, instead of living under all the pressure by yourself, why don't you get in the way so God can lead you? Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody in here? I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Anybody? Eyes up here, would you? Everybody? Just a moment. I'm going to invite you to this altar. And as I told you last night, I don't have to pull you. God's already... If God... You know good and well the decisions you have to make in life that involve a lot of pressure. Life is not easy. For all of you that want to get grown fast, all of us wish we could be a kid again. Where all we had to do was get up and let somebody else pay all our bills. You want to talk about being responsible for another human being and dealing with the liability of making one wrong decision that ruins your life, their life? That's pressure. You got all these people telling you how to do it. But only one person that gets it right every time. That's why we got to be in the way. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. God spoke to you. You come. Father, you move in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. The music is playing. Come on. You put your hand up all over the building tonight. Some of you are living under some real pressure tonight. Why don't you come and ask God to keep you in the way, would you? Bless you. Oh, God, help us. I wonder if there's anybody still in your seat tonight. You need to step out on the altar. And maybe somebody, you need somebody to pray with you. You're going through something right now tonight, and you say, I'm under a lot of pressure, and I don't want to mess up. I need some help. Won't you come and echo what he's singing about and tell God, I need you, God. Listen, sometimes our pride doesn't want to admit how desperate we are. But God wants us to be desperate. Teenager, don't try to do it without Him. Parent, don't try. Sir, don't try to lead your marriage without Him. Tell Him you need Him. And listen, we already know He has the answers. You make sure you're eligible to receive them from Him. You've got to be willing to be in the way. As He sings, if God's still speaking to your heart, would you come? Failure's not an option. Failure's not an option. Listen. You ever look back at some times in your life and you go, I didn't prepare for that. I didn't plan for that. I never took any classes for that. But in that moment, God told me what I was supposed to do. Watch this now. Because I was in the way. The last thing you want is for God to be giving you direction, but you're not in the spot where you can receive it. Stay in church. Stay in the Word. Stay in His will so He can lead you. Good Christians are not smart people. Good Christians are the ones who lean on a smart God. That's all. We look at people and go, oh, I wish I was as smart as they were. No. None of us know what we're doing. We're just smart enough to know we don't and to trust in one that does. God help us. Some are still praying. You sing one more stanza while these are still praying, which... Amen. Sing that chorus one more time. Lord, I need you. I'm good, I think. Yes, thank you.
God's faithful, amen. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Thank you, Brother Kenny. May be seated here for just a moment. Thank you, Brother Kenny, for preaching to us. And I tell you what, I really enjoyed the good singing tonight. God has been faithful. And looking forward to what God's going to do with us and for us throughout the rest of the week. And we just continue to pray about that. And if I could, Brother Kenny, if you wouldn't mind making your way towards the back, and as folks can shake your hand as they go out. Bryce, if you would, please take this chair and to the back, give him something to rest on as people should make their way out. I appreciate that.
That's my boy right there.
Amen. And if I could get some men to come up as we take up our offering tonight, I want to take up a love offering for Brother Kenny. He will be leaving after the service and making his way back. And so if you would, just pray for him. If God give him travel and grace and mercy as he goes back home, and of course the funeral tomorrow that he has, be in prayer about that as well. And those people, get the gospel. Never know, somebody may get saved. Amen. I never know. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask God to bless the offering this evening. If I could, Brother Barry, would you pray for us tonight?